It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, certified financial planner, host of Money Matters, now going on 10 years. Welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in. You know, my house was asleep this morning. And it's amazing to me that you would get up at like 6 in the morning. The kids go to school. I have 4 little kids, and they all go to different schools in the morning. So that's always an operation. And everybody's out, and everyone's gone by like 7:20, 7:30. And then this morning, Mallory Boggs, who is with me here in the studio today as well, you know, parked outside. I said, don't come near the door because my dog will explode. Josie, we have a German Shepherd, and she goes crazy. And she's more than an alarm clock, and she would have woken everybody up. So I just said, stay outside. I'll come meet you. So Mallory Boggs is with us this morning.
Hey, Wes. Hey, everyone.
Good morning. So really, because the world has been just this tremendously volatile place, it has been a very, very long time. Almost, it's really been a decade since we hit a full bear market for stocks. And we're doing it in the middle of the holiday season, for goodness sake. So we're out shopping. We're trying to think about what we need to be getting our families in the season of giving. And here we are with the stock market just crashing day after day after day. And I know it gets nerve-wracking. I'll tell a story today about what my mom literally called me on Christmas Eve day, beyond just talking about, honey, I miss you, but hey, what's going on with the market? This is getting really rough. And she's kind of an iron-stomached investor in her own right. So I want to share today what I told my mom, and really what I've been talking about on Money Matters the last month or so about what's happening in the world. And we can even take your calls. We'll take calls and questions. Phone lines are open as well. 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. Who is this Wes guy? I'm the retire sooner guy. That's what I do. I wrote a book called You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, The 5 Money Secrets of the Happiest Retirees. Clark Howard is about save more, spend less, avoid getting ripped off. Dave Ramsey is about get out of debt. Susie Orman is, I don't really know what Susie Orman is. She is an overly tan woman who basically says you cannot buy anything. I think that's what her shtick is. No, you can't buy that purse. That's basically I guess what we talk about, or if there's a theme beyond the investment side of what we talk about, which is diversification and income investing, which we're not going to get too heavy into today. My theme is retire sooner. And I think that applies if you're 30 and you're just trying to make it in America, in Atlanta, you're thinking about, how do I get to a point where I can stop working? If you're 55, you're thinking, how do I get to a point where I stop working? When you're 75, and if you're listening to WSB Radio, you're thinking, how do I make sure I don't have to go back to work? So we're all thinking about retire sooner. And that's what we do on Money Matters. And that's what we do in the real world. So if you want to find us, you can Google retire sooner. I think we'll probably come up. So good morning. And we'll talk about the book. But again, the book I wrote, which encapsulates probably what I do in a very short title, is You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, 5 Money Secrets of the Happiest Retirees. That's it. So to remember what we do, I'm the retire sooner guy. What we do on Money Matters and what we'll do here today, number one, we have always been an objective call-in show, and we give advice for do-it-yourself investors, people that want to do it on their own, and people who love to grow their money and think about how to get to a point where they have financial freedom, how to figure out how to generate more gains over time, how to generate more income. So that's number one, objective call-in. Number two, we are very much about studying the habits of happy retirees. How do you be in the happy camp versus the unhappy camp? We've done a lot of research over the last half a decade on happy versus unhappy retirees. And you and I want to be like the happy ones. What do they do to be able to retire sooner and have this wonderful retirement life? And then objective advice or commentary, if you will, on what's really happening in the world and in the economy. And I'm going to give you an example of what I mean by that, because there's always this massive, there's very often a massive disconnect between what's really going on and what you see headlines for. Those are the things that confuse investors. And I'm going to give you an example about housing and the economic numbers behind housing, and then the economic headlines behind housing, to give you to kind of illustrate the point of how disconnected the media typically is about what's really happening in the world. We were down 20% at the day before Christmas Eve, worst Christmas Eve of all time for the stock market. So the roller coaster continues. We are on the roller coaster, and we're here to help make sure you do not throw up before you get out of your car. Talk about the length of corrections, and but I'm excited to do it and be here with you this morning. Again, we'll open up the phone lines. I guess I'll tell a story too, and this is really about this. This has a money bent to it, and it kind of goes back to it's. It really goes back to the dollar store is what this story is about. But this Christmas, my boys are old enough. So I've got four of them. I've got an 11, 9, 6, and 2-year-old boys. And they are obviously very much involved in the world and thinking about Christmas and where do we, you know, what are we doing to help out, or at least kind of the season of giving. And I have a great idea for what I'm going to give out next year. It's kind of like a happy retiree basket. We study a lot of longevity too, like what the retirees that live the longest. And there's a lot of great research about longevity. So I think I might do longevity baskets next year for the holiday season. But remember, so the season of giving is not over. If you haven't given out Christmas cookies to your neighbors, you've got days left to still give out something to your neighbors. That's Mallory. You've not finished your giving, have you?
No, I have several people to still shop for.
So you've got a lot of time.
Thank goodness.
So here's what we did with the boys. So I ordered, and this is from a long-time client and friend of mine. They did what I think is like the coolest happy retiree move of all time. Lived in the city, all city life, but always wanted to go to the mountains. Always wanted to kind of have a farm. So a lot of people talk about this. Not a lot of people do this. They lived, and they still to this day have a condo in the city. They said, I'm going up to the mountains. Let's call it LJ, and I'm going to buy some acreage, and I'm going to put on that acreage a barn, and I'm going to have some cattle, and I'm going to grow stuff in the ground that's organic that I can eat, and I'm going to raise some cattle. And they did just that. And now they're at the point where they can say every year they've got some cattle. If you want some grass-fed beef, you go order half a cow. Which again might be something that as you're listening, everybody knows about. But I had never done that before. So in talking to them, I said, I'm going to order. I want to get some grass-fed beef. Every one of my kids loves steak. They all, of course, love hamburgers. So I'm going to get a cow, or at least a half a cow. And I did so. I went to Costco. They were out of freezers. I finally found a big deep freezer at Lowe's, and they're not expensive. We're talking like a couple $100 to get a massive freezer for meat. I got the delivery, tons of steaks, right? I got a bunch of steaks like I thought, but way more burger than I ever thought. And individually wrapped in per pound too. So I got like 100 packets of 1 pound grass-fed ground up sirloin. So I was like, we can't, as many kids as we have, we're never gonna eat all the sirloin. Your ground sirloin. So I thought, what an amazing gift for the holiday season. But how do you do it? How do you give out frozen ground beef? You got to go get a cooler. So the boys and I, last Saturday, we went out. I don't know when we did this. We went out to the hardware store to find coolers. And the coolers were like $20. Like, oh, we've got coolers. $20 coolers. I don't want a $20 cooler. I want like a $2 cooler. They said, go to the dollar store. And that's exactly where we went. We ran into the dollar store with three of my four kids. Santa hats, by the way, right there in front. Everybody got a Santa hat. They're all wearing Santa hats. We bought all the things to wrap everything, and then these $2 coolers to give out the beef, the frozen chopped sirloin, delivered it all over the neighborhood in these coolers. I think it was the best gift of all time. For some of the folks, they not only got 2 pounds of chopped sirloin, they also got 2 Bud Lights on top of that in the ice. Now, you open up with a letter from my kids that said, hey, we ordered too much meat, and we're going to give it to you frozen for the holiday season. Here's 2 pounds of frozen beef and 2 Bud Lights. Tell me that is not an unbelievably great gift. So Money Matters, we're covering Wall Street. We're covering investments. We're covering, hey, what's happening to the world? So what it also does is this creates the roller coaster that the U.S. stock market can be on, creates this just feeling of anxiety. You put money in, you want it to be growing. You see it drop 10, 15, 20%. It leads to a tremendous amount of anxiety. The other thought that leads to anxiety is that there's just always this disconnect between what I think is really happening in the world and what gets reported. As an example, I wanted to talk about housing for just a second. This summer, I brought up a couple headlines the last night looking at housing as an example. There are all these different headlines. U.S. home building plunges to a 9-month low. That sounds bad, doesn't it? Housing starts tumble 12.3%, the lowest level since whenever, right? Sounds awful. Sounds like the U.S. economy is on the brink of disaster. So it's almost like if you're the news media and you're trying to get clicks, used to be sell newspapers, trying to get clicks, you are selling the end is near story. But if you actually look at the numbers, or housing numbers in this example, they're pretty darn good. They're up, they're about close to over 1.2 million housing starts happening right now in the United States. If you go back to before the financial crisis in 2006, we were building about 2.2 million houses or housing starts per year, annual basis. That dropped to under 500,000 when we hit the financial crisis in April of 2009. 78% drop, by the way. Imagine being a home builder and what you do just went down almost 80%. But we've rebuilt that number steadily over the years. We hit about 1 million home pace of building in 2015 that slowly increased to about 1.25 million new homes being built per year on an annual basis. A very positive trend. But if you look at what's being reported on a daily basis, stories about the economy or economic data, they're just meant to scare you or throw you off and make you nervous. It's important to understand objectively, without a political lens, what the big macro picture is, what's really happening in America, because then you can be a better investor.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here as we continue with the show. I had to write a note to, and this is really prompted by my mom. Every time the market gets really bad, my mom, who's kind of an iron stomach investor, I'll know that when she's calling or texting saying, hey, what's going on? I'm getting nervous. I'm getting scared. I know that everybody else is getting scared too. So it's time to really talk about what's happening in the world. And I think another really important theme here is to remember and understand what 2019, one of the themes that I think is going to drive next year, because it historically has been one of the most powerful economic and political themes, is the third year of a presidential cycle. What does the third year of a presidential cycle mean? Well, it means that the president, whoever it is, and this isn't just about Trump, it's about any president, particularly in their first term, they don't want to lose going into the next year. And it creates this, hey, I've got to start to play ball. I've got to be pro-growth, because this is a year that is do or die. If I don't have a good economy and a good stock market in the third year of my election, my reelection chances are dismal the next year. This is the resume building year starting in 2019. And every president wants to get reelected into a second term. Do you think President Trump wants to get reelected? I think the answer is absolutely 100% yes. So, and can you remember a president that has a bigger influence or more levers to really move this economy and this stock market? Trump is a stock market president. He came in here talking about how great the market was, and look at what we've done and the market's up. So can you imagine what he's thinking about making sure things go at least pretty well in 2019 if he wants to get reelected, moving into 2020? 20. So he came into this year with a tremendous amount of cushion, with a good stock market in 17 and a robust economy this year because of tax cuts. Since 1933, the average rate of return for the S&P 500 during the third year of a presidential cycle, that's coming up in 2019, has been positive 20% on average. Positive 20%. Again, presidents kind of wake up and say, wait a minute, things have got to start turning in my favor in a lot of very public ways in order to have a good 2020. Stay tuned for that. I think it's going to be a big theme throughout the year. More Money Matters straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Welcome back to Money Matters. This is Wes Moss, your host, certified financial planner, here every week to help you solve your money problems, how to be a better investor. Thanks for tuning in. Market's in turmoil. And that's kind of what we're seeing here. I'm going to keep playing that soundbite. Market's in turmoil. I'm going to keep playing that soundbite throughout the day because that's exactly what CNBC will show anytime the market drops even 1%, let alone a day where we're down 1.2% kind of as we speak. And I want to go through so many of the things that are happening in the world and kind of just help people guide people through, or help you kind of get through and navigate what's going on in the world here. So when we hear markets in turmoil, here's really why. And if you haven't opened up, if you looked at your 401k, if you haven't logged in and looked at your 401k, if you do right now, unless you were 100% in the stable value or bond option, it's going to be lower. Anything that's stock oriented this year is down. U.S., large cap, small cap companies down, mid cap companies down, REITs are down, energy companies are down, international is down, emerging markets are down. So really not a lot of places to hide broadly around the world in a year like as we close out 2018. Here's some of the headlines, but these are very true. Worst Christmas Eve ever for markets. Worst December for markets since the Great Depression. Anytime you say since the Great Depression, even my kids get nervous about that. Wes, or Dad, really? Since the Great Depression? Are we going into another Great Depression? We're not going into another Great Depression. That's the good news. But we're in kind of this bear market. Once we hit a bear market, you don't really feel like you're out of it until you kind of get back to where you started, the whole bear market. And that takes time. On average, it takes, depending on the size or the level of magnitude of the correction, if you look at garden variety corrections, so you've got your 10%ers, that counts as a correction. Then once you hit 20%, you call that a bear market. And we just tipped over the bear market scale on Christmas Eve. It's supposed to be the holiday season of giving. Here we are, the market taketh away, at least for a temporary period of time. If you look at the time to recover, full-on recession correction. So, and we'll go through some of this today, but there's really two kinds of corrections. You've got a correction, meaning market going down, that coincides with a bad economy, which are, let's call those recessions. Then you have corrections that are just because the market felt overvalued or felt like it needed to go down, and investor selling kind of got more selling, and markets kind of went down due to sentiment, but the economy still stayed good, or we stayed out of recession. And that, by the way, that the latter case, I really think that's really where we are. This is a good economy, almost by any measure you look at, up probably 3.5% growth in the United States for 2018. That's a really solid economy, again, on a $20-plus trillion economy. 3.5% growth is really strong. We went a lot of years since we got out of the financial crisis in 2009, we went a lot of years with very slow kind of lumbering growth of the 1.5% to 2% growth. It's not until this year that we've kind of broken out of that languishing trend and seeing 3.5%. We even had a 4% plus quarter of GDP. We'll probably finish the year at 3.5%. So if you look at recovery time, if you've got a really bad or bear market that is associated with a recession, and it gets really kind of bad and then worse, it takes about 3.5 to 4 years to recover from that. That's a long time. If you have the, I'm not going to call it garden variety because it still hurts to have a correction and even a bear market, but the non-recession corrections, meaning the stock market goes down even though things are still pretty good in the economy, those take less than a year to recover. And sometimes it takes only a couple of months in order to recover. So that could be where we stand here and we're going to talk about the outlook for 2019. There are a couple of things that there's a couple of really, I think, very reasonable things that could turn for the better to make 2019 a much better year than what we saw in 2018. There are a couple of things that could go our way, let's say, as an economy, as investors, that could really happen in 2019, and things could get markedly better headed into the new year. And we don't know when things turn, but let's talk about a couple of the things that are happening and a little bit of just this classic confusion and disconnect with markets. We talked about worst Christmas Eve ever, worst December for markets since the 30s, bear market for stocks. Yet, these are real headlines. These are real numbers. MasterCard, again, one of the largest payment processors in the world that tracks shopping, UPS, United Parcel Service, and Amazon. Okay, so we're talking about payment processing, shipping, and retail. Okay, can you get a better measure than those three? They all just reported that we've had the strongest retail season in 6 years. Holiday sales up 5.1%, according to MasterCard, to more than $850 billion this year. By the way, online sales across the board up a 19% number versus 2017 for the holiday season. Amazon just reported record-breaking holiday season. They're selling, they can't stock enough Echoes. They're selling Carhartts, by the way. One of the Carhartt clothing. You know, Alan Hunt's in there. He's wearing Carhartts, probably got a new pair of Carhartts for Christmas. By the way, biggest thing. Now, I've got all boys at the house. We've got four boys, so I don't know about some of these girl presents. But the number one item on Amazon this year, the LOL Surprise Glam Glitter Dolls. Is LOL as in, Mallory, is that as in, what does LOL mean?
You know, you're asking the wrong person. I'm not sure. But laugh out loud?
I guess so. Okay, yeah. LOL Surprise Glam Glitter Doll. That was like the number one item on Amazon this year. Bose wireless headphones. We could use some more headphones here in WSB Radio. Clothing from Carhartt. These are all the things that are selling on Amazon. UPS delivered says they're delivering, and they probably will exceed this number, 800 million. This is unbelievable. Almost a billion packages. What an amazing operation. Yet over the last 3 months, Amazon stock is down 25%. MasterCard stock down over 20%. UPS down over 20%. All caught up in this overall market sell-off. So you're starting to see here, the stock market is not the economy. And the economy is not the stock market. And that's what is so confusing for investors in the shorter term area, in a short term window. Can you think of a better example of a disconnect? You have three companies that just reported the best run they've had in the business side of what's actually going on, yet one of the worst runs when it comes to their stocks. This is a classic example of the disconnect between what happens on a short-term basis with stocks versus what's happening in the real-world economy. Strong U.S. overall GDP up about 3.5% for the year. On a $20 trillion economy, stock market down as of early this week, 11% on the year. And then a 20% bear market that hit in the lows of Christmas Eve day, which was only a half day, by the way, in trading. Then stocks rally 1,000 points in a day. Talk about keeping you on your toes. So of course you're going to get confusion as an investor. Of course people just say, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with the emotion of being an investor. It's just too difficult. And this isn't a good economy. Imagine when the economy does finally go back into recession. And that's why a lot of folks just give up. Today, we're kind of making sense of all this. The market, again, I think the first lesson here is just that the market is just not the economy. it's much more volatile than what's happening in the underlying economic bedrock or foundation of what's happening in America. And the economy is not the stock market. Over time, yes, they absolutely, they move together. They move together over time, as in over the course of a full year or really even more than a full year, there you'll see a correlation if you look at 3+ years or so. But in the short run, there are all these other variables that impact what's happening with stocks. Of course, this year you've got fear and uncertainty around tariffs. We haven't talked about tariffs yet today. Turnover in the White House, right? It's been kind of a merry-go-round of people going in and out and getting fired or coming back in. And then they can't find anybody to fill the job. Then we finally find somebody to fill the job. And all of that disconnect is not really that settling. It creates more uncertainty about what's happening in Washington and politics. But listen, the Federal Reserve does not want to choke off this economy any more than you and I want the economy to be choked off. It is, they are doing their job to try to get interest rates back to a more normal level without hurting the economy. Pushing interest rates higher is a typical normal tool to make sure the economy doesn't overheat. And I think that's part of, and of course, that's part of why the Fed is trying to get interest rates back to a more normal rate. And by the way, guess what? Now your CDs and your money market, instead of paying zero, now you're getting like 2-2.5% on your money sitting in the bank, which is not a bad thing. So it's good for savers. All of these things have created all this uncertainty this year, worries about all these variables eventually can start to bring down the economy. And that's a big part of what's happened with the market, is that the market's saying, okay, all this uncertainty, it's going to eventually bring down the economy. And then it's reacting to what it might happen in the future. We get corrections, though, stock market corrections, even if we have a good economy. I'll give you some examples when we get back. So we're headed into a very powerful political economic stock market cycle. Yes, I said all three together, which is called the third year of the presidential cycle, meaning that a president looks up and he's in his third year and he says, wait a minute, I got to get reelected. You know what? I can't get reelected if I have a negative economy and a down stock market. You want to make sure you don't, you know what? Don't even run. If you have a negative stock market and a bad economy in your third year, you might as well not even run. Well, guess what? Over the past 80 years, let's call it 8 decades. So this is not a fluke. There have been no periods of time except for one tiny, tiny sell-off when the stock market has been down in the third year of a presidential cycle. Talk about statistics that is not an economic fluke, that we have not had one bad year since in 80 when it comes to the third year of the presidential cycle, which is a very, very powerful corollary to understand as we head into next year. Do you think Donald Trump wants to get reelected? Absolutely. Love him, hate him. Just understand that he wants to get reelected. In order to do that, and he's probably the most stock market oriented president that I can remember. He talks about it all the time. So you know that he is very in tune with it. And you know that he wants to make sure it's doing okay. So let's look at history and understand that there are a lot of positive forces heading into next year.
Strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
We got to go to the phones here, Mallory. Let's start with Tom, who joins us on the line from Marietta. Tom, what's going on? How can we help? Good morning.
I just bought your book online while I was on hold, so I appreciate that. Looking forward to reading that.
Thank you.
Just sold my business about, let's say, a week ago. I just came into a chunk of change, and I'm trying to figure out what I do now. I'm 40 years old, or going to be 40 in February, and I think I have enough to live off of for the rest of my life.
And whoa, at age 40, that's like Clark Howard type thing. I mean, that's how early you are.
Yeah, now, I've been dream saving, and then, you know, the business was very successful. But the thing is I'm just not sure. I hear income investing. I hear people talking about how income investing is not a good idea because You know, whether it's fixed income with interest rate risk or, you know, dividend producing stocks that, you know, have fluctuating income as the market goes up and down. I like real estate investing as well. We have a rental property, but I just wanted to hear just, you know, what advice would you give to somebody in my position? I have a fee only investment advisor that I haven't yet met with. We have a scheduled appointment, but what kind of advice would you give somebody in my shoes?
Yeah. So this is a thought. Think about this. I mean, if you went to 10 financial advisors and you saw what they were going to, you're going to get 10 different plans, and you're going to get plans that include lots of not always, but very often lots of different products and alternatives and annuities and all these things that are kind of magic elixirs, if you will, and they're going to solve all your problems. And then if you went privately to those same 10 financial advisors and say, hey, what would you do if you came into $5 million? What would you do? The answer would be blue chip dividend paying companies. That's what they would really do with their own money most of the time, almost all of the time. And if you think about a company like Procter & Gamble that has been around for, you know, we're measuring in decades and centuries here and paying dividends for 50, 80 years. And if you're going to start out with a 3% dividend yield or 3.25%, 3.5% in today's world with a company that hasn't lowered a dividend for decades, that starts to be really attractive to somebody that is thinking about stopping work and having the portfolio have to produce for you for a very, very long period of time.